Thank you, Mr. Baumhauer. It's a delight to be with everyone on God's Weekly Festival, a beautiful day here in Ocala, Florida, to worship our great God. The title of this split sermon, A Miracle, A Miracle. We just observed last Sunday, Pentecost, and that commemorates the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. And to the recipients of God's Holy Spirit, it truly is a miracle. And in this message, I would like to discuss with you three things. Number one, what the Holy Spirit is not. Number two, what the Holy Spirit is. And number three, the Holy Spirit, the miracle of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine. Let's begin with number one. The Holy Spirit, most emphatically, is not the Trinity, as so many mistakenly believe. It is not a triumvirate, three in one. The scriptures do not support the Holy Trinity, or the Trinity, I should say. The Apostle Paul never taught the Trinity. As a matter of fact, when the Apostle Paul, who was the primary writer of much of the theological underpinning in the church, when he greeted the churches and individuals, his standard greeting to them was peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's two individuals. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 verse 7. Romans chapter 1 verse 7. Romans chapter 1 verse 7. This is the Apostle Paul writing. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's two. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints. That should be us. That's our destiny. Which are in Achaia. Verse 2. Grace be to you and pray and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. 2. All right, let's backtrack and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 and 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 and 3. 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, there's two that Paul addresses. Now, if there were three, obviously the Apostle Paul would have acknowledged that. Let's go now to what I consider to be the beginning of the Bible, if you get my gist. John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, with God there was no beginning. But he John's writing this way for our understanding. God always existed, he exists now, always will exist. But here we're talking about, was God the Word? Now, the Word became Jesus Christ. He was with who? He was with God, too. God became the Father. Why? Because God is creating a family. That's a truism that's unknown by the world and all religiosity. Mainline Christianity doesn't comprehend that. And the Word, Jesus Christ, is our elder brother, our Savior. And God the Father is our Father. And there's a family that's being created. But the point I want to make here at this time is that there were only two that always existed. Okay? So it's very clear that what is not the Holy Spirit, the Trinity is not the Holy Spirit. Also, the Holy Spirit does not come from an individual. It does not come from an organization. And it does not come from a church, any church. Okay? So we have established what the Holy Trinity is not, what the Holy Spirit is not. It's not a Trinity. It's not received by an individual, an organization, or a church. So let's move on to phase two. What is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is an invisible portion of the heart and mind, the attributes of God the Father and Jesus Christ imbued within a human being. It's not just Jesus Christ, as so many mistakenly believe. It is both the heart, mind attributes of the Father and Jesus combined with the human spirit. You know, that's an incomprehensible truism, but it is in fact what the Holy Spirit is. And it's also the begetter of eternal life. If one has the Holy Spirit within them, as I just described, they also have the begetter of eternal life. John 17, verse 3. John 17, verse 3. This is Jesus Christ himself speaking. John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Those two. The Father, as we know, Jesus Christ, our Savior and elder brother, within one is the begettal of eternal life, as Jesus Christ just said. The Holy Spirit, the miracle of the Holy Spirit, is also a spirit of love, of power, of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1:7. These are the qualities, the attributes that are extant within an individual who has the miracle of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. All right? The miracle of the Holy Spirit is also one of hope, of joy, of peace, of faith. The exact opposite of what is prevalent in the world today. These qualities, God's qualities. Let's go to Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. These are the qualities, wonderful qualities. You know, without hope, people perish. And we have the most certain true hope. The Holy Spirit is also a gift. Can't be bought. Can't be earned. It can't be demanded. Let's go to Acts 2, verse 38. Acts 2, verse 38. Acts 2, verse 38. And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. It's God's prerogative as to who will receive the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit. Now stay with me on this one. Stay with me on this one. All indications are, this is astounding, all indications are that the Holy Spirit is also the transformation of physical life into godly spiritual life. Yes, to be God as God is God, not with the same power, not with the same authority, but in fact with the same composition and with godly power. All indications are that is the end result of the miracle of the Holy Spirit within an individual. Let's go to Matthew 17 and we'll read from verse 1 to 3. Matthew 17, and we will read from verse 1 to 3. Matthew 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. 2. And Jesus was transfigured, so from physical composition to what? Before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. That is the composition of Jesus Christ in his glorified state. You can read about that in Revelation 1. That's how he was transfigured in this high mountain when he appeared before Peter, James, and John. Verse 3, who was with him? And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Now, Moses and Elijah have been dead for hundreds of years. But in this transfiguration, Jesus revealed to them that Moses was in the same composition as Jesus. What's the indication there? Let's go to another scripture that, in my view, supports that view even more strongly. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 to 3. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 to 3. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 to 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Indeed, a love that transcends human comprehension. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called what? The sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We are the sons of God today. But does the world know us? No, it doesn't. Why? Well, the scripture tells us why. Because they don't know him. And that includes all religiosity. They just don't know him. So how could they know us? That's what's being said by John. All right, let's go to verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, doth not appear, it shall be, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now, we're the sons of God now, but it doesn't appear what we shall be. Well, let's continue on. But we know that when he, that is Jesus, shall appear, when he comes to establish the kingdom, what will be the outcome for us? We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, he's going to be in his glorified state. We're going to be like him. We'll see him as he is. What conclusion can we come to? How great is our God? How deep is his love for you? How glorious is our future? You know, relatively speaking, everything else pales into insignificance to the destiny God has for us. And not only for us, our great God desires this for everyone in their due time. That's what he wants for everyone. As I've mentioned already, he's creating a family. That's a subject for another time. But we should want that for everyone. That's the love we should have for everyone, that they eventually will be in the family of God, be children of God. If we're going to be sons and daughters of God, well, what will we look like? If we're going to be brothers and sisters of Jesus and see him as he is, what will we be like? How can we come to any other conclusion? Oh, what a great God we have. What a wonderful, wonderful God. You know, there are many other aspects of the Holy Spirit. We don't have time to cover them in a brief split sermon. There's wisdom, there's insight, there's teaching, there's prophecy, there's the plan of God, there's the fruits of the Spirit we read about in Galatians. We don't have time to cover them all. So let's move along and go to phase three, the miracle of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine. But before we go to phase three, I need to mention a caveat. We can quench the Holy Spirit. We can do that. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:19. We need to be aware. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Chapter 5, verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Now, we could do that, and we don't want to do that. You know, if a man after God's own heart, David, was concerned about quenching the Spirit, so should we be. Why was David concerned about it? Well, because he was in sin, and sin will cause us to quench the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if it's not repented of. David did repent of sin. So should we. When we see sin in our life, we should be like David, deeply repent of it. What else can cause us to quench the Holy Spirit? Neglect. You know, another area of our life that can cause us to quench the Holy Spirit? A lukewarm attitude, a Laodicean attitude, where we're really not wholehearted for God. We're not dedicated to him, lukewarm, sometimes indifferent. We need to watch out for that. We need to be careful. That's why I mentioned this caveat. All right, now let's move on to phase three. If there's nothing else, you remember, and I remember from this message, I'd like us to remember this. We're going to go to 2 Peter, chapter 1. We're going to read verse 1 to 10, and we're going to finish to 11. I'd like us to remember 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1 to 10, and finish with 11. Why do I emphasize remembering that? Because in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1 to 10, Peter enumerates the qualities we have received with the miracle of the Holy Spirit and how we need to develop and exhibit those qualities so that we can be successful in entering the kingdom of God. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 10, tells us the qualities we have received as a result of the indwelling of the miracle of the Holy Spirit. And then he tells us what we need to do to develop and exhibit them. If we develop and exhibit those qualities, we will be successful in entering the kingdom of God. And I'm sure every one of us want to enter the kingdom of God. In my personal life, I'll share something with you. I've decided to make this particular section of scripture a daily reading, and much more important than a reading. But I want to strive to inculcate these character qualities in my life, because we're going to be successful entering the kingdom of God. So I'm going to make it a daily part of my reading and Christian character development. So now let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's read from verse 1 to 10, and I'll comment as I go along. 2 Peter chapter 1. To Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you catch it? Did you catch that spiritual gem that Peter stated? Let's reread. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have what? Obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You see, we have obtained faith as well as the other character qualities as a result of receiving the miracle of the Holy Spirit. We have received faith from God first. God establishes the procedure first. God starts the process to begin with in order for us to be able to exhibit and develop godly character. It is impossible. Stay with me on this. It is impossible for anyone of and by themselves to fully obey and please God. That's not possible. No flesh is going to glory before God. He establishes the process, and then we develop what he's begun in us. And what he's begun in us with his Holy Spirit is infinitesimal. It's small. Why? Well, as I've already mentioned, he wants children. So now with our spirit, we develop what God has given us to be full-grown, mature sons and daughters. To be full-grown, mature brothers and sisters. It's a process that goes on. But the point is that God is the one that starts the process. Now let me hasten to add. Humans can exhibit faith of and by themselves, but it's to a degree. It's to a point. Humans of and by themselves can do good works, but it's limited. So is faith. Witness the disciples when they walked with Jesus Christ 3.5 years on the face of the earth. Did they exhibit faith? Yes, they did, to a degree. Did they do good works? Yes, they did, to a degree. But it wasn't sufficient and fully pleasing to God, their obedience and faith, was it? Until they received the miracle of the Holy Spirit within, then they were able to fully obey and please God. But only because God started the process. God gets the glory. God gets the honor. God is the one that enables us to develop character, to be his children, to be siblings of Jesus Christ. Once again, no flesh is going to glory before him. You with me? Okay. Now, let's move along with the qualities Peter tells us we have received and we have to develop and increase. Faith is one. We start with faith, but it's small. and it grows as we continue to have a relationship with God in our life. We see as a result of faith that we're walking, God is more active in our life. That grows. All of our predecessors went through the same procedure in life as we're going through. It's a process. It takes time. I'm reminded of the granddaughter that said to her grandfather, "Oh, Grandpa, Grandpa, I when I get older, I want to marry a man just like you, Grandpa." To which Grandpa responded and said, "Honey, it took me 80 years to become just like me." I'm still working on it. All right, let's continue on. Verse 2. Here's the qualities that we have received, okay, that we need to develop. Verse 2, Peter tells us. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So grace. Are we not told to grow in grace? We grow. As we mature, as we develop, we become more gracious. It takes time. Peace. How do we develop peace? Well, it comes as we become more humble, we become more peaceful. As we defer to others. All right? These are the qualities he's telling us we have received with the Holy Spirit. Now we need to develop them. All right, let's continue. Verse 3. According as his divine power, that's the Holy Spirit, hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now glory, we know the glory is our destiny, God's kingdom. But beyond God's kingdom, it's eternal life, where there is joy and pleasures at God's right hand forever. That's the God we serve. That's the God we love. That has planned for you and me, and eventually all people that will, joy and pleasures forevermore. We'll dance in forevermore. We're in the right. Oh, that's what he has in mind. It's right there. Joy and pleasure forevermore. Okay. Also, virtue. Also virtue. You know what virtue is? Virtue is moral excellence. It is cultured, refined. And since God, for the most part, has chosen the weak and base, it takes, once again, it takes time. But it's a process. It's moral excellence, moral people, upright, not proud, not arrogant, not rude, moral, living by God's standards. All right, let's continue on. Whereby, verse 4, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, because we have the miracle of the Holy Spirit in us. That's the nature we're developing with our own human spirit. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. 6, and to knowledge temperance. And to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Temperance. This is a quality I really struggle with. Temperance simply means self-control. Am I the only one who struggles with that? But that's what temperance is. And within time, each of us in our own given area of life develop self-control. We learn to control ourselves as best as can. We all have our distinct personality. That's great. That's what God wants. He doesn't want wooden soldiers. He doesn't want yellow pencils. We all have a distinctive character, personality. But we develop these godly characters with the Spirit in us. And patience. Oh, my. You know, one of the ways to develop patience is to consider others better than ourselves, to have empathy, that we interact with others with empathy. You know, most people interact with others with their own self in mind, primarily. So we have empathy. Courteous. You know, polite. These are the qualities, these talents we've received from God to begin with, but now we need to develop them. Right?
All right.
And to godless brotherly kindness, generosity with our time and with our finances as we are able. And to brotherly kindness, charity. You know, charity means love, agape love, outgoing love. It's the greatest of all qualities. Outgoing love for God first and foremost, and for our fellow man. That's the greatest quality of all, by fulfilling all of the attributes that we have received from God. Now, what does Peter say in verse 8? Well, he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we develop these things, he's saying we're going to be profitable. We're going to develop. Ah, but notice, Peter also mentions a caveat in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So if Peter is saying, you know, if we neglect what we've received and not develop it, we're going to be unsuccessful. And that's an understatement. That's what he's saying. You know, if we don't develop these qualities, we're failing. We want to develop them. Now, let's finish up. Let's go to verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, what does Peter say to you and me here? Give diligence to make your calling, that should be us, an election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. If we fulfill these qualities that are enumerated in Peter 2, chapter 1, verse 1 to 10, we fulfill them, Peter is saying, we'll never fall. And he tops it off by saying what in verse 11? Verse 11, my final verse. For what? For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you and me, with the miracle of the Holy Spirit we have received, fulfill what Peter tells us in 2 Peter 2, verse 1 to 10, we'll never fall. And so, an entrance will be abundantly ministered unto you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you and me, with the miracle we have received of the Holy Spirit, fulfill 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 10, we'll never fall. We'll never fall. And the outcome will be we will receive an abundant entrance that will be ministered unto us into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That will be the outcome for you and me. That will be the outcome for fulfilling 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 10, with the miracle of the Holy Spirit that our great, great God has given to us.